Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Good morning, Dwell. We are being very intentional the last couple, 2-3 weeks, where we are spending a lot of time in worship and prayer and really want this focus to be on prayer. There's a passage of scripture that always intrigued me, even as a young teenager, that it snagged me. It pulled me, and I didn't fully even understand it when it got my attention. But there's this passage of scripture that we all know. We could all quote it. As soon as I start it, everyone in the room can say it with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I knew that, and I pursued it, and I knew that there was something about the kingdom of God that I was invited to seek first, to make that my number one, to make the kingdom my number one priority. And I began to do that and try to understand even what you're saying. God, when you talk about the kingdom, what are you saying? And this word seek, it's a word that's used in different passages of scripture. When Jesus is talking to his boys about prayer, he uses this word seek. Paul even said that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek. Seek first the kingdom of God. I think it's important that you understand, too, when we talk about kingdom. Kingdom comes from two words. King's domain. The dominion of the king. The kingdom comes from those two words. It references the dominion of the king, the king's domain. But I want to get this passage of scripture in context, particularly while we've been walking through this COVID-19 crisis. I want you to consider, when I read this passage of scripture, it's from Matthew, the 6th chapter, that one verse is Matthew 6:33. But I want to back up about verse 25 and put all of this in context. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I want to dive into this. I do this a lot when I'm speaking. I like to give you the contrast, the other perspective. All of these different translations I love. There's the Passion Translation and the NIV and the New Living Translation, the NLT. But I want to read this same portion of scripture from the Message. I like this. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. I even backed up a little further in the scripture here. Stockpile treasure in heaven, where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds. Free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashion, walk out into the fields and look at the wild flowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you, do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting. We're all waiting on our stimulus checks. Some of them came, some of them didn't. I don't know if ours is going to make it. I don't know. But we worry about what we're going to get. So you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. So this is it. This is the message. This is the message version of Seek Ye First. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Seek first the kingdom of God. This word, seek. I love this. There's another portion of scripture in the book of Luke when the disciples ask Jesus to teach us to pray. And in that discourse, he tells them what to say. Then he tells the story and tells them how to say it. I want to read it to you. Because in the end, he's saying, on the conclusion of the matter, about this intense prayer life, this intentional, this pressing, then he comes to this word, and he says, if you knock, the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. I want you to catch it all in context. Now, it came to pass, Luke 11, starting with verse 1. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom, there it is again. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, now you think he's changing the subject, but he's not. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet, this is it right here, because of his persistence. I told you, Jesus is telling them what to say. Now he's telling them how to say it. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is all in the context of prayer. So, I must look at this again in the message. One day he was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Master, teach us to pray. So he said, when you pray, listen to this, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And an old friend traveling through just showed up, and I don't have enough, I don't have a thing on hand. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Seek first the kingdom of God. We're talking about prayer. Whoever asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened to him. But he wants us to be persistent. He wants us to reach. Jesus said, repent. Again, he's talking about repentance is prayer. Repent, for the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is close. Repent. Pray. Change the way you think, because the kingdom is at hand. It's close. The kingdom is close. Repent. Seek the kingdom. With diligence, we're in a season where we anticipate a move of God, where we need, where we hunger for more. I've actually heard many times different theologies, different men that are pastoring groups of people, kind of talking down about someone who expresses hunger for more of the Lord. You don't have to hunger. He's already here. Tell that to Jesus. He said, whoever seeks finds. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. I'll repeat Paul's words. The Lord is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Well, yes, he's present. He's always with us. But there is a degree, there is a dimension when the more of God is opened up to us. He said, whoever hungers and thirsts will be filled. We find our world in this place, desperate for God to heal. Some of us have lost loved ones. We said, God, you're stronger than this coronavirus, and then we've yet lost people to the very thing that we prayed God would heal. But he's still our healer. He is still our healer. He still cares. He said for us to seek. He said, cast all of your care on him, for he cares for you. Hunger. So we're going to come into this season, and we're going to wrap up this Sunday service, and we're going to just turn in an attitude of prayer. And God, we come with great diligence. We come earnestly. David said it, early in the morning will I rise and seek you. With an earnest cry, God, we come and we ask for you to move in our world, move in our church. God, we won't stop until we see the promised outpouring, the great awakening. That's what we hunger for. God, we don't want to go back to what once was. We cry for more. And we seek you. We pursue you with all of our hearts.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.